Is it on now? Ooh, I love that. I love the sound of that. And so, just amazing how the Lord just allowed that to work out. So now, with our ministry in Uganda. So we have been in Uganda now 3 years, and it's just been exciting. Truly, it's been so exciting to see what God's been doing. So we originally got to Uganda in October of 2020. We plan to be in Uganda April of 2020. All right, but we kind of had a small hiccup. I don't know if you guys heard of this COVID thing that happened. And so because of that, the president of Uganda shut down the whole country. Really, the whole world was shut down at that time. And so obviously, there wasn't a whole lot that we could do. So we were there at our home church, just faithfully serving, just trying to doing what God wanted us to do for the time being. And honestly, it worked out. Honestly, I believe it was because of God's will, because during that time, for most people during that time, it was hard. It was difficult. And then during that time, my grandmother passed away. A really close mentor of mine passed away. And so just having those extra months with them and just cherishing that time that we had with them, I'm very thankful for it. And then so in October of 2020, we got to the field, and it was tough, moving to a new country with all that was going on. But the Lord had grace and mercy upon us, and then we were able to work with veteran missionaries there in Kasese. So we live about 8 hours from the capital. That's where we live. And so we kind of live out in the bush. That's kind of the area we live in. And so the population of Uganda is about 48 million people. If you look at a map, you'll notice that Uganda is smaller than, I would say, Kansas, a lot smaller than Nebraska, and 48 million people. And it is growing, honestly. It is just growing so fast there. And so thankfully the Lord allowed us to be there. So we've been there now 3 years. And through that time, the Lord's allowed us to start a church. We started Kalembe Independent Baptist Church. It's up in a small village up in the mountains. So you have the mountain range, you have the Rwenzori Mountains. And then we are on the Ugandan side, and on the other side is Congo. And so I'd ask you, pray for us. Thankfully, we've been safe. God has protected us. We haven't had any incidents. But since we've been back on furlough, there's been some issues. Some rebels have been coming over the border, and they attacked a couple schools about an hour away from us, and they killed 46 students. And then about 30 minutes from us, where we are, some rebels attacked a couple. They were on their honeymoon, actually, and then they robbed them and killed them and did horrible things. And so right now, they've just been dealing with a lot of the rebel attacks that have been coming over from Congo. A lot of our church people, they'll text us, they'll say, pray for us. And we know that God is not the author of fear. And it's difficulties and there's struggles. But I'm so thankful that we have a God that we can trust in. I'm so thankful that we don't have to move forward in fear. We can move forward in faith. And so I'm so thankful, truly so thankful that the Lord allowed us to start a church there and to be there. If you think about it, so I brought some prayer cards if you want, and I asked the pastor. He said it was totally fine. He said that we would, if you're able to please pray for us, we'll be going back to Uganda in April, so actually next month. So we'll be here with you guys for today and tomorrow, and then we go to Indiana, and then after that we go to Florida, because Indiana and Florida are right by each other, And then from there, we go back to New Mexico. I forgot to mention that. I'm sorry. So we're from College Heights Baptist Church in Farmington, New Mexico. That's where we're from. So we'll be going back there. We'll be spending time with our home church. And then we have a few weeks, and then we fly out April 30th. So I'd ask you to pray for us. If you're able to, grab one of our prayer cards and pray for my family and I. We're excited. Truly, we're so excited to go back to Uganda. We've been on furlough now about 8 months. And don't get me wrong, I'm an American. I love America and I appreciate America, but I am so ready to go back to Africa, and I'm so excited to go back to our people there in Uganda. And just the stories. Last Sunday, we had a great update. There's been a lady, her name is Esther. We have been praying for her for months, actually. She came towards the end of before we left for furlough. And she's been coming faithfully. And then about 2 months ago, she got saved. And then last Sunday, they had a baptism for Miss Esther. And I was so jealous. I wanted to be there. I was so jealous. And just to hear that there's people in Uganda growing, there's people developing, because that's my desire. That's my wife, that's our family's desire, to see people saved, to see them baptized, to see them grow, to see them discipled, and to see them live for Christ. And I believe that's the Great Commission. That's definitely the Great Commission, to see, because that's what our Lord wants us to do. He wants us as his followers to go out and to make disciples, to tell people about Jesus. And I think all of us can clearly agree, and I think all of us will clearly understand, I truly believe our Savior is coming back anytime soon. You look at the events, you look at what's going on, and it's very clear, our Savior is coming back. And we can either do one, waste time by our own selfish needs and our own selfish things, or we can put others first. We can love others. And not everyone's called to be missionary. I totally understand that. And that's of God. But we can reach people around us. We can love the people around us. We can try to, because I'm not called to Fall City, Nebraska. That's not me. But you are. And I know people will, like, I know for some reason, and let me just, I think we need to understand this. Some people, they like to do this. They like to, okay, I have my life, my church, my thinking. Missions, that's great. And then they like to section it off and say, that's great, people are going there. But they also forget that they're missionaries too. That God called you here to reach the people here and to love the people here. If I did a survey, I would almost find out that not everybody in this town believes in Jesus Christ. And the truth is, everybody needs to know about Jesus Christ. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love people. We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to invite them. Spend time with them, telling them about Jesus. All right, I haven't even started preaching yet. All right, if you have your Bibles, all right, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, all right, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I want to say I'm so thankful for your pastor. Your pastor is, I knew your former pastor, Brother Moore, too, for a while, and actually saw him. We were there with him a couple months ago, actually. And then we knew Brother Chad in school. And then it was so funny. When we went to Brother Chad and Chelsea's wedding, that's how long we've known them. And we were at their wedding, and I remember we're shaking hands, you know, they're shaking hands. And then I was shaking Brother Chad's hand, and he looks at me and he's like, did I invite you? And I'm like, no, your wife did. So I love your pastor. I love your pastor. He's an awesome guy. Has such a heart for the Lord, and I'm so thankful. When I found out he became the pastor here, I was so proud of him, honestly. Just how the Lord's been working in his heart and how he's been growing. And you can tell, honestly, you could tell that he has such a dedication to the Lord, and I appreciate that. I really do. And that's what we need. We need more young men just willing to serve the Lord. That's what we need. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. If you're able, we'll stand. Deuteronomy chapter 10, we're going to jump right into join me here in verse 10. Deuteronomy 10, verse 10. All right, so this is when the second time after the tablets, he broke the tablets and God had to rewrite the tablets, or he had to rewrite the tablets. And then this is when they're journeying, and this is after the death of Aaron. And this is really when they've been wandering for many years, and God's been doing a work in the people's heart. And don't get me wrong, I find it so interesting with the children of Israel. God constantly, he delivered them from Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, and you know the story. And God just provided for them over and over and over again. And then you always see that sinful nature come out. They always go right back to sin. And then talk about a merciful God. Okay, come on. Is this on? Come on. We serve a merciful God. Amen? All right, I know you don't know me, and I know we're getting to know each other, but I like amens, all right? So if you want to amen, you're allowed to do it, all right? Your pastor has given you permission, okay? All right, we serve a merciful God. And you're going to see that all throughout Scripture. You're going to see that even in your own life. I think if I went around, all of us could testify that we serve a great God. Join me here in verse 10. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened to me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. And as the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before the people, that I may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk on all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of the heavens is the Lord's thy God, and the earth also with all that is therein. God owns everything. He's God. Only the Lord had delight in the fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. You can't bribe God. He doeth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, and hath done for these things great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. All the good things God has done for us. Wow. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. We serve a good God. One, he's given us salvation. And I pray tonight that you're saved. I pray that you've accepted that free gift of salvation. And then two, when Christ saved us, it's not only that, he gave us a relationship. No man can come up unto the Father but by me. We get to go straight to God. Think about that, folks. In the Old Testament, they had to go through priests and tabernacles and all these things. But now you have this great blessing to talk to God anywhere, anytime, because you're his child. What a blessing. And the fact that we serve such a wonderful God, a merciful God, a God that is long-suffering. Wow. I think tonight we just need to reflect on how good our God is. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your goodness. God, I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me, even times of my sinfulness, times of my forgetfulness. Lord, when I forget that you're such a good God. God, thank you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for my sins, for our sins. I pray, Lord, that you'd work in your message tonight. Lord, help us to see that it's so important how we live our lives, that it's so important how we represent you, so that the lost world can see Christ in us. I pray, Lord, that you bless this time. Thank you so much for this church here. Thank you for, Lord, just their willingness, and thank you for what you're doing. I know there's many tonight that are sick and not feeling well. I pray that you'd bring healing and comfort and peace to the people. And I pray, Lord, that you please be with Pastor Barry and his family, Lord, as they're away. Please protect them, keep them safe, and as they travel back, Lord. And thank you for allowing my family and I to be here. Lord, bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, just a bit of my testimony. So, my wife and I, we are both Navajo. We are both Native American. We both grew up on the Navajo Reservation. So I am a product of missions. So I was 12 years old, and Brother Bobby Harjo, a missionary to the Navajo people, came to where I was out on the reservation in Arizona. And he came in typical Baptist fashion in a white Ford 15-passenger van. And he came to my house and knocked on my door. And can I tell you, I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful, truly, because my household, and I'm so thankful for my parents. I am. I'm so thankful for my mom and dad. And they did a great job. They really did. But we didn't go to church. I actually grew up in the Native American traditions, you know, going to powwows, going to ceremonies, praying to the sun, all of these different things. And can I tell you, even as a kid, I had no understanding, and really, I had no peace. I'll just be honest, I had no peace. I would go to sleep at night scared of the spirits and scared of all these different things. But I'm so thankful because somebody was willing enough to come and caring enough to come to my house and to knock on my door and tell me about Jesus. Can I tell you, I'm so thankful for soul winners? People that care about other people? Come on, Christian. I think that's what we should be. We should be people that care about other people. And so I'm thankful. A missionary came to my house, knocked on my door, invited my family and I to church. And then my mom, I remember it. A preacher asked, "Can you come? We would love for you to come to church." My mom said, "No, there's no way I'm coming to your church. But here, take my kids." And so my brother and I, we rode the church bus, I want to say for about 6 months. And then after that, eventually, my brother got saved. And then a week later, I got saved. And it was so amazing because I remember it. Miss Mickey Harjo, she sat down with me, opened up the Bible, and she told me about Jesus. And she told me about the goodness of Jesus. And then she told me that I don't have to live in fear. Can I tell you, that's so liberating? We don't have to live in fear, Christian. Talk about a good God. We don't have to live in fear of sin. We don't have to live in fear of the devil. We don't have to live in fear of those things. Yes, there's consequences. Yes, there's problems. But praise God, we don't have to live in fear because that's not of God. And I'm so thankful for that. And then two, she told me about just the goodness, the grace, the mercy of God. And then I remember she told me about that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I remember as a kid, because when I really began to think about it, the sun god never died for me. The medicine man, all of those spiritisms, they never died for us. And then to hear that God, the creator of all things, Almighty God died for us. Oh, that's good. Come on. That'll make a Baptist do a holy grunt or something. Come on. That's a good, amazing thing to hear that God would humble himself to come to this sinful world to die for us. Wow. And so I remember as a 12-year-old kid, back of an old school bus, I bowed my head. I accepted Christ. And can I tell you, it was such an amazing day. And I remember it. I remember it so clearly. And then my brothers and I, we rode the church bus for a while, and we prayed for my parents. See, my parents, and I love my parents. They did a wonderful job with us, and they worked hard. But, you know, they had issues, and there was problems, and there was alcohol, and there was things in our family life that as kids we knew was not right. And so my brothers and I, my sister and I, we would just pray for my parents. And because I knew if God could just save them, I knew God could change them, and I knew our life could be different. Because isn't that what God does? After we get saved, doesn't he just fix things and make things so beautiful? And I knew it. I knew God could do it. And so we prayed. I remember my brother and I, we would pray in the car when my dad would be taking us to town or something, and we would just pray, "God, please save my parents." And my dad would just be so annoyed and angry that we were praying those things. And then we would sing church songs. And then I just remember we were singing Jesus Loves Me so loud. And we wanted so desperately for my parents to come. And then praise God, it was so wonderful. There was a tent revival, an old revival. My siblings and I, we were at the front of the service. And we had no clue that my parents were there. They came, surprisingly. And we were there, we got to the front, and we were there listening to the whole sermon. Comes time for invitation. And then, wouldn't you know, it was so amazing. My parents were in the back. They walked the aisle, and they got saved. And then, can I tell you, it was so wonderful as a child to see something like that. Come on. It's so good. When you pray for something, when you have such a desire for something, and then God answers that prayer. I'm so thankful for when God answers our prayer. And you know this. Think about how many times in your life have you prayed for something. How many times in your life you've cried out to God, and then God just gives you that grace, and then God gives you that mercy. What a good God. Oh, what a great God. And then I remember my parents get saved, and then the alcohol leaves. The violence leaves, and then it was just amazing. My parents, they actually wanted to have family devotions together. And then And then we would drive in the vehicle together, and then my dad would say, "Hey, sing one of those church songs for me." And it was just amazing how God began to just work, and God began to change, and then God began to just do what God does, just bringing, fixing what sin and the devil broke. We serve such a good God. And that's just my childhood. And then later on, in my high school years, I met my wonderful wife, Cassandra. And so we actually worked together at Safeway. And we were getting to know each other. And I'll tell you this. So my wife, actually, she was in a Pentecostal church. And so we would argue about doctrine. You know, she believed that you could lose your salvation. And then I believed in Scripture, and Scripture says, once saved, always saved. And so you can imagine, I won that argument, you know. And so eventually, I lead her to the Lord, and then she gets saved. And then it was so wonderful because I began to see how God began to work in her life, how God began to work in my life. And then God called us to Bible college. And then at Bible college, God called us to be missionaries. And then God called us to go to the country of Uganda. What a great God that we serve. And then after that, in 2017, we go to Uganda for our survey trip for 3 months. And then God just makes it so clear to me that that's where he wants us to be. 2020, get to the field in 2020. And then it's so wonderful, truly, it's so beautiful. The first man that I led to the Lord, his name is Joachim. He is, actually right now, he's a 20-year-old. When I first met him, he was 14 years old. Just a hard family situation. But I prayed for that boy for 4 years straight. And then finally, he came to me. And he said, "I want to be saved." And I got to sit down with this young man, and I got to tell him about Jesus Christ. Come on, I think we just need to acknowledge. I know there's difficulty. Please, 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 I understand. There is difficulty in life. I'm fully aware of that. There's hardships. There's trials. There's so much pain. There's so much hurt. If you want to talk about hurt, I can tell you all the things that people have done to hurt us. But I think sometimes, yes, that's there, and yes, that's true, but we need to remember who we are, and we need to remember what God has done for us. He saved us. We deserve hell. Come on. None of us deserve heaven. None of us are good enough for heaven. One man said to me, when I was preaching the gospel one day, he had a cigarette in his hand, and he's smoking, and then he has alcohol in the other hand. And he was saying, "But I'm a pretty good person. I do a lot of good things." And then he says, "I think I'm good enough to get to heaven." And I'm standing there, and I said, "Okay, do you understand what you're doing? You're openly sinning, and then I'm telling you, as a missionary, somebody who's given his life to come to Africa, that I'm not good enough. Do you think you're good enough?" "Well, I think I'm better than you." That's what he said. Okay. I'm fully aware that I'm a sinner saved by grace. That there's nothing in me. There's nothing about me that has saved me. And I think we need to acknowledge that, and we need to accept that. Because I see so many Christians, they get so bombarded, so discouraged. And yes, life is discouraging. But it's important for us to remember who we are. We are children of God. Children, we were adopted into his family. None of us were born into it because we don't deserve it. We have done nothing for it. But talk about a good and merciful and graceful God. Think about how many times he's forgiven you. Think about how many times he's had mercy upon you. Think about the times when you didn't deserve love, you didn't deserve mercy, but he gave it to you. Because when we repent of our sins, we're not appealing to his justice, we're appealing to his love, and that love which he freely gives to us every day. What a good God. Look here in Scripture. Look at this. So here in Deuteronomy, look at the last verse, last part of verse 10. "And the Lord would not destroy thee." Okay, stop there for a second. We all acknowledge this. "At this time, They've been wandering for 40 years. Now, why were they wandering for 40 years? It wasn't because they liked to walk. It wasn't because they had nothing better to do. No, they're wandering because of their sin, their disobedience, and their unwillingness to trust God. Now, let's put that into perspective. So God was bringing the children of Israel to the promised land, something that God promised them. He delivered them from Egypt. Now, please don't get this twisted. I have met people. I have argued with people about this. And you see this from Scripture. God did not give the children of Israel the promised land because they were good and they deserved it. No. He gave it to them because he loved them and they were his people. Come on, let's really get into this. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to live in the Christian life. We don't deserve to have victory over sin. But praise God, he gives it to us so freely. And then look at this. So here was the children of Israel wandering around for 40 years. And then, okay, you remember how Moses comes down the mountain? Then he finds the people. They're not sitting there having a prayer meeting. They're dancing wickedly. And I love Aaron's response. He's like, I just put the gold in and then poof, there was a cow. No, Aaron, come on. No, you were actively involved in this. Think of it this way. You were ungrateful and you were sinning. And then so you look at Moses, so angry, he breaks the tablets. And then if you look at this, God's anger was against the people. Why? Because one, they have openly sinned against him. They disrespected him. And they done sin, really, when it comes down to it. They were ungrateful for what God has done for them. Really, they have forgotten who they were. They have forgotten where God has brought them from. And then, so you look at this. Moses has to intercede. He begs God. And then God shows mercy to them. So you have to look at this passage like this. So here, for the rest of this, it's not because Israel deserves the promised land. No, they don't deserve it at all. But the reason why they are going to have the promised land or even get to enjoy the promised land is because of God's mercy. We have the ability to have God's word, to pray, the Holy Spirit. We get the assurance that we're going to go to heaven when we die. Again, not because of our good works, but because of God's grace and his mercy. Wow, what a good God. And then, so God makes it very clear to Moses. They've done nothing for it. They don't deserve it. Now look at the next part. Look at the next part. And the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. I have something for you. Now, verse 12. Now, this can be contentious. Some people don't like this, but it's the word of God. Look here, it says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Okay, let's look at this. God is telling them, Israel, Moses, I want them to understand. I have the promised land for them. They are my children. I have chosen them. I have given them the land. They don't deserve this. I have shown mercy and grace to them. But now that I've given it to you, look what the Bible says. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? There's some requirements. You can put it in this term. There's some expectations. Now that you are a child of God, now that you are God's chosen people, now that he has given you the land, he has shown you mercy, you don't get to just live however you want. You don't get to just do whatever you want. You don't get to just watch whatever movie and listen to whatever music. You don't get to just go wherever you want to go. Now, please understand me. Some people get this twisted. Some people get this mindset wrong. Okay, Brother Alex, that's legalistic. Brother Alex, that you just have so many high standards. Okay, listen. We're not doing this. We're not living the Christian life because it's of trying to earn salvation or the false thinking that we're better than people. No, I think we all understand. We're just sinners saved by grace. We're not better than anybody. But God here is saying to the people, there's expectations. Why? Because you are a child of God. You are not the child of sin. You are not the child of this world. And you're not to look like the world. You're not to act like the world. Why? Because you represent God. Because you're different. Now look at these requirements. Look what he says. Look at the first one. But to fear the Lord thy God. Look at that first phrase. Fear. Fear means to reverence, to respect. Okay, I'm going to ask him some rhetorical questions. Easy questions. All right. Our president, we pray for him. Pray for our president. Amen. And I know we can complain about him. And I know we can be upset. But we should pray for him. We should pray for him. But let me ask this question. Our government, does our government respect God? No. I would argue no. Because they're making laws that kill innocent babies. They're making laws that distort and confuse marriage. I would argue that our government doesn't. Okay, let me ask this question. Does Hollywood respect God? No. I would argue and I would say no, they don't. Because you look at what's coming out. You look at what's influencing our young people. Okay, let me ask this. Does popular music right now, does it respect God? No. I would say it doesn't. Okay, all right. Now, let's get a little personal, okay? All right. Do you respect God? Of course I do. Of course we do. I would say that my wife and I, we're missionaries. We're serving God in Africa, so we respect God. But it's more than just service. I think we understand that. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just dressing right. Does your heart reflect a reverence to God? Does your speech, do people know, hey, that person respects God? Because one time when I used to work at a junkyard. I used to help take parts and I used to help customers. And one day I had my boss. And he was rough. He was a rough guy. And I prayed for him. I did. I prayed for him. Now, it was kind of funny. He would come to our church once in a while. He wasn't really faithful, but we prayed for him. Now, one day, I was in the shop. I was cleaning up the shop. And I could hear he was having a conversation on the other side of the shop. And I couldn't see him, but I heard he was having a conversation with one of the mechanics. And he was telling him, he says, you need to accept Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I was so excited. I was so happy. I'm like, wow, my boss is doing a wonderful job. This is amazing. And I come around the corner, and he's sitting there with a cigarette in his hand, blowing smoke in the guy's face. And then, in fact, he threw cuss words in the plan of salvation. It's not how I would do it, but no. Can I argue that's not respecting God? Because there's for some reason, we have this disconnect. It's not just our service. Yes, we can have service, and yes, we can come to church. Yes, we can do those things, but it's also a heart of respect of who God is. Is my actions, is my thinking, is my heart truly respecting God? Look at the next part. Okay, it just gets gooder, okay? The Bible just gets gooder, all right? Look at the next part. All right? To walk in all his ways. Ooh. Okay, I will walk in his ways on Sunday, but when it comes to Monday, I'm going to walk in my way. Is that all his ways? No. Look what Scripture's saying. Look what God's saying to the people, to walk in all his ways in our marriages. Because I truly believe that we're supposed to have Christian marriages, that we're supposed to have Christian families, how we parent our children. How we talk to our boss, our friends, our loved ones. We should, in every way, it should reflect that we're living and acting like a Christian. Okay. All right. Stay with me. It gets better. All right. Here's the next part. To love him. To love him. Now, when that phrase, I think we understand, to love him. I love, and It's too funny. I love orange soda. That's one thing I just love because I have a craving for it. Pray for me. I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to get off of it, okay? and it's one thing I just love, but that's not the kind of love that's talking here in Scripture. The love is a dedication, almost like in marriage. Regardless if I feel like it sometimes, because it's really not an emotional thing. No, it's a surrender. It's a dedication to something. Can you truly say with your heart, with your mind, with every being in you that you love God? And because that's what he's trying to say. Look at the next part. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It's sad when you have to force Christians to come to church sometimes. It's hard. It's sad. I should say it that way. It's sad when you have to beg a Christian to go out door knocking with you sometimes. It's sad when you have to beg a child of God, somebody who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to serve him in some capacity. Because there's an understanding in this passage. I'm a child of God, therefore I want to serve my God. Whatever he wants me to do. Look at the next part. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. Here's oh, it's so good. Which I command thee this day for thy good. He's not just doing it just because we have nothing to do. He's telling us to live like this. He's telling the Israelites to do these things. Why? Because it's good for you. Because it will benefit you. Because you don't want to live in this world in sin, going about your own business, disobedience, and not reverencing God, and giving your love, your devotion to false things, and it's going to lead to problems. But when you give it to God, when you're fully in love with God, and you're surrendered to God, you're respecting God, what does it do? It benefits you. Can I tell you, I'm so thankful? And this is just God. And can I say, this is just God. This isn't me by any means. I'm so thankful to be married to a wonderful, godly woman, to have four beautiful girls that love the Lord. Because, can I tell you, and I'm so thankful that our family, we want to represent God. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But can I tell you, it's so wonderful having a Christian family. It is. Why? Because we don't have to deal with a lot of what the world deals with. We don't have to deal with the problems that the world deals with. And we don't have to deal with those things. Yes, there's issues. Yes, there's problems of life. But praise God, it's not like this unsaved. Because as Christians, God doesn't want us to live in sin. God doesn't want us to struggle with certain things. Yes, there's problems. Oh, but praise God, when you are following God, when you love Him, when you're surrendered to Him, it's amazing, all of those things. The way I say it, my wife says it. Well, I say this. My wife doesn't like it. When my girls fight, I say, save the drama for your mama. And then my wife says, no, save it for your dad. I don't want it. Come on, there's so many things as a Christian we don't have to live with if we're just following God. Now, okay, let's put this into perspective. God is telling the children of Israel, okay, one, you are my children. I have bought you. You are mine. Now that you are my children, I expect you to live like my children, to act like my children. Why? Now, I know people say this, and I know people sometimes don't understand this, especially teenagers sometimes. Why should I go to church? Why should I pray? Why should I read my Bible? Why can't I watch this? Why can't I do that? And I get it. And I get it, as young people, I understand. But look what God says next. Look at this. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of the heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also, and with all therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in his fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even above you all people, as it is this day. Verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. You want a reason? Because, okay, I'm a millennial. I will admit, I'm a millennial. And I don't like telling people that. Right? But one of our things as generations, we ask questions. Why? And sometimes it gets so annoying. Can I say that? It gets annoying. But we ask why. Now look at this. Why? Yes, I know I'm saved. Yes, I know I'm a Christian. But why should I live like a Christian? Why should I be careful about what I watch and what I do? And why should I be careful about those things? Look what it says. Just so good. Look at this. Only the Lord had a delight in the fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Why should I live like a Christian? Because you are his child, and he, get this, is your God. You are not a child of sin anymore. You don't represent the devil anymore. You are not to be a child that's lost in sin. Come on. You serve a good God. You serve a great God. A God that loves you so much that he died on the cross for you. I know it gets hard, Christian. Come on. I know it gets hard. I know there's trials. I know there's difficulties. But you can't stop living like a Christian. Why? Because he's your God. And you're his child. There in Uganda. There in Uganda, people have accused me, and it's funny. It's just, I laugh at it now. In the moment, I cried about it, but now I can laugh about it. They accused me of being a spy. Two, I was accused of murder. A few weeks later, my wife, she got malaria. And then a few months after that, she got malaria again. Someone broke into our home. See, I can tell you trials and hurts and pains so much, and we all can. And then we all come to that decision. Well, why should I continue going to church? That person at church hurt me. That person did this. They did that. Come on, Christian, it's not about those things. That's not the focus. You are to live like a Christian. Be like a Christian. Why? Because you are a child of God. You are a child of the King. And get this, God is your God. Okay, next part. It just gets gooder. Come on, stay with me. It gets gooder. All right? Look what it says. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. That unwillingness. In Uganda, we have goats. Just lots and lots of goats. Just goats everywhere. We have goats in trees. We have goats driving cars, just goats. Goats everywhere. Just lots and lots of goats. And if you've worked with goats, you're going to notice something. Goats are so stubborn. They're just so stubborn. They really are. They're just stubborn. One day, it was raining, and it was raining pretty hard there in Uganda. And it rains a lot there in Uganda. And there was three goats, and our building was open. Three goats came in, and they were in the back of the auditorium or the building. I was so excited. Can I tell you, I was so happy because I thought we had new church members joining the church. And we're trying to push these goats out of the building. And like goats do, they're just so stubborn. They're just unwilling to move. And so we just left them, and they smelled so bad. Can I tell you, that's not what kind of Christians we need. Why? Because that doesn't benefit anybody. Because a stubborn, stiff-necked heart towards God doesn't benefit anybody. And one, it doesn't represent God well. But somebody who is willing to obey God, somebody who's willing to serve God, someone who's willing to have that humble and obedient heart and an understanding heart, can I tell you, that represents your Father. That shows the world that there's something different in you. That you're not like the world. Why? Because think about it. The world, they're stiff-necked. They're not willing to praise the God who created this world. They're not willing to obey Jesus Christ. They're not willing to reverence him, to respect him, to obey him. And so when we have that stiff-necked, when we're not willing to obey God in a humble manner, it doesn't represent God. Lastly, look at this. Look at this. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great, a mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh rewards. They're in Uganda. It's so sad. There's so many false gods that are there. These people, they'll pray to the rock sometimes. There's some false teachers, really. They'll go to a mountain or a hill, and they'll tell people, if you pay me a certain amount of money, and you give us a certain amount of money, we'll let you pray on this mountain, because God only is on this mountain. And so there's lines. You ask my wife, lines of people willing to give whatever money they have to go to that mountain and pray on that specific mountain. And then there's people, they'll go to trees and they'll give coins and money and even goats sometimes to trees because those are the ones they're praying to, hoping that the tree will bless them with something. Okay, I'm looking at your faces. All of us can agree. That's crazy, right? That's not right. Why is that not right? Because that's not God. That's not God Almighty. Because you know God Almighty. And God, hopefully, is your God. Now, it's sad, right? Because we all can agree to that. But then when it comes to difficulty sometimes, instead of praying about a situation, we try to figure it out on our own. We know that God doesn't dwell in trees like that. We know he's not something like that. But then when it comes to difficulty, do we represent our God? Look what Scripture's saying. I want you to get this. I want you so badly to get this. We are his children. And as his children, we are expected to represent him. Why? Why? Because he's God. And then lastly, look at this last point. I'm almost done. Look at this last point. Verse 19. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. God wants us, as his children, he expects us to live like Christians, to act like Christians, to act like his children. Why? Because he's God. And then so that those who don't know God can come to him. See, I think sometimes Christians forget this. We're not an island. We're not. We don't just get to live however we want and do whatever we want. There was a lady one time. There was a lady my wife and I were talking to. And she was an older lady. And she was in an office space with some younger people. She liked to complain about the younger people. She liked to complain about them. And so we're talking. And then she said, well, at work, you know, I'm not very friendly because I just don't like the way they're acting. I don't like how what they're doing. And as we're talking to her, this thought kept coming up in my mind. What if you're the only Christian that your office space, that those young people know? How are you representing your God? And I think about this. How we respond to trials, how we respond to hurts and pains, it should be a reflection. It should be a reflection of who we are in Christ. Do people see Christ in you? Can people identify that you're a Christian, that you belong to God, that he's your God? And please, look at what Scripture's saying. He's saying the reason why God chose them, the reason why God wanted them to do these things wasn't because God was being mean or trying to control them. No, he wanted them to be a light to the rest of the nations. So the rest of the nations could know there is a one true living God, and the rest of the world doesn't have to live in sin. He chose you. You accepted Jesus Christ. He preordained. You are a child of God. And we get to represent our God. Why? So that the world may know him. Just simply put, I just want to ask, as we're about to have invitation, are you living like a Christian? Are you walking like a Christian? Are you respecting God like a Christian? Because if you're not, it doesn't represent our God. It doesn't show his goodness. We've all testified tonight about the goodness, the grace, and the mercy of our God. Doesn't the world deserve that as well? Doesn't people in your family need to know that? Doesn't everybody need to know that? Come on, child of God. Are you living like a child of God? Can people see Christ in you? Do people know that you're a Christian? Can people say, yeah, that person, that man, that woman, that child, that teenager, your friends at school, do they know that you're a Christian? And if they had questions, let me say this, if they had questions about God, would they feel comfortable enough to come talk to you about it? Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we come before you now. God, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, so much for being my God. Thank you for loving me. There are times, Lord, I confess, I will admit, Lord, there's times in my life, Lord, I don't live like a Christian. I don't live like your child. I pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, even in my own daily life. Lord, help me, Lord, even in my life, to be someone that would represent you, that I would obey your expectations, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bless and that you work in our hearts, that you work in our lives. I pray, God, that you would just bless and help us to understand, Lord, that it's so important how we live. Again, not because we're doing these things to gain favor from you or we're doing these things to get something from you. No, Lord, you've already given it to us. And you give it to us continually, Lord. But Lord, help us to see that it matters how we live because people need to see Christ in us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Help us in our hearts. I know many people, Lord, we struggle with difficulties. We struggle with things in our life. But help us not to forget just the importance of following you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time, Lord. Bless in just your efforts and bless just us, Lord. Help us to be Christians that are obedient to you. Thank you, God, so much for your will. Thank you for your goodness. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know if you normally do this, but I feel love of the Lord. We're going to just do a short time of invitation with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you want to pray there, right where you're at, I'm not going to ask anyone to stand, but you're welcome to come. You're welcome to come here and pray at the altar, or you're welcome to stay there in your seats and you pray. And maybe the Lord put something on your heart. Maybe there's something just in your life, maybe something that you just need to spend time talking to the Lord about. I think it's important. If the Lord has spoken to you tonight, if maybe he brought a sin or maybe something that you did not do, maybe in the way you talked and maybe just your service or something, I think tonight just getting that right with the Lord. We serve a great God, a God willing to forgive us even when we sin and even when we fail, just that mercy and that forgiveness that he allows us to have. I would encourage you during this invitation time, maybe just take this time, take a few moments, and you pray where you are. And just ask God to help you. Maybe ask God to help you to understand who you are in light of who he is. Heavenly Father God, as we continue in prayer, Lord, I want to thank you. God, just thank you, Lord, so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for our sins. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that even after salvation, Lord, you've not left us, Lord, that you've allowed us, you work in our life just continually on an everyday basis, Lord, thank you. Lord, may we not frustrate the grace of God, Lord, because we know, Lord, that we can't, Lord, that it's so abundant, that your mercy is so rich. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to see, Lord. Help us not to forget who we are. Help us not to forget, Lord, what you're doing. That we get to be your children. That we get to be light, even onto this lost world. I pray, Lord, that you bless just today with Pastor Barry and his family. And just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for loving us. God, thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.